a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. Now, underline that if you want to, who feared God with all his household. So he was a believer in God. Now, it says that who gave alms generously to the people. So he had love for people. He cared about people. But, you know, how many of you know that there's a lot of people who care about other people, but they're not living for God? They care about other people. They're just being nice. They're just good citizens. But it says who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Also, another area to underline, who prayed God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Father, we thank you for your word again. Give us revelation, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, reveal to us, Lord, the areas in our lives that must change, Lord, so that we can be thoroughly furnished, Lord, for your work, so that we could be prepared for your work, oh God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know that there are people out there who are already talking to God and who are already looking for the truth. How many of you know the truth? Capital T, truth. Raise your hand. Who's that truth? Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He's the living word. I shared this on Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, but even to the students, that when you read John chapter 1, the word in your Bible, of course, some Bibles, I hope they haven't changed this, but the word is capitalized. The word is capitalized. It's talking about Jesus. And so Jesus is the capital T truth. He is the truth. He even said he's the way and the life. And so this month, as when you get a chance to get to calendar, this month, November 19th, for the evening service, it says Mobile Church, taking the gospel to the streets. And I'm going to be explaining about what that means. And see, there are people out there who are already talking to God, just as it was here. Cornelius was already talking to God, already praying and believing in God, and just talking to God and saying, God, I want more. Who knows what else was in his prayer, but God, I want more of you. God, help me to understand. I got me and my household. We need to draw close to you, God. And so ended up happening that God began to speak to Peter. Peter had to have his heart and his eyes fixed and prepared and focused, zoomed in on what was important. See, because Peter had a certain mindset that his viewpoint and his eyesight were on a certain group of people. And God was about to change that. Why? Because Peter was about to go to someone's house that Jews normally didn't go to. And so this month is something new. It's not going to happen every month, but I have been praying. We have been praying about this. When to do this? When would be a great time? And one time before the end of the year, we decided that we were going to do this. And so an instruction for all of us in obedience, for us together to take the gospel to the streets. Now, I'm not saying that we don't already do this. We should already be doing this. You should already be taking the gospel to your neighborhood. You should already be taking the gospel to a store where you eat. If there's a waiter or a waitress, a server, you should always be taking the gospel. Take a track, share, ask them a question, find an opportunity to meet with someone and to share the truth. So we should already take this, but this is going to be an instruction and obedience for us together to take the gospel to the streets. Being his witness. The students were talking about that this morning. Being his witness. And we need to plan out our strategies. And so this is what we're going to discuss. Where you're going to go, that's up to you. What you're going to do, well, we're going to discuss that. According to what we put on the calendar, it says, take the gospel to the streets, November 19th. The park, the store, restaurant, or to your neighborhood. How will you share Jesus? And some people are probably thinking, what? What is this? What are we supposed to do? Are we going to church or not? So for those that are not here, look around. For those that are not here, I am compelling and asking you, Okay? Now, the word beseech is in Romans chapter 1. That word beseech is asking to implore, asking you to do something. And this is important. So I am beseeching you. I am imploring you. I'm asking you to pass this information to someone. That's not here today. And hopefully we'll cover some of this next Sunday morning and Sunday night. But what are we going to do? Okay, plan out my strategy. If I go to a park, what am I going to do? Well, you can discuss. We'll discuss what? We can have a Bible study and have a picnic. You can discuss the Sunday lesson. Share your testimony is one that's very important because we are to be a witness. And if there is an accident, the police officers want to find out who was around, who saw it as an eyewitness. The disciples were eyewitnesses of what Jesus has done. And they are going to go throughout all the world and to share their witness because they're a witness, share their testimony. Now, of course, we didn't see Jesus, but we know that Jesus is alive. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. What has he done in us? Well, we are the best testimony. We are the best witness and have a testimony of what he's done in us. And so we can share that. We can have a personal home party, have a personal time with someone. And so these are things that we're going to discuss in a little bit. But the main thing, the goal is to share Jesus. The goal is not to give them a card that says hidden treasures and give them an invite a card. Oh, that's a good thing. Okay, you should have some. We always have some on in the foyer on the table. If there's ever a time that you see it's out, find somebody, ask one of the ushers, ask me, hey, I need some more invite cards. There's no more on the table. We'll be glad to put some there. But that's not the goal, is it? The goal is not to go ahead and invite someone. The goal is not to have someone even be on the church membership roll. That's not the goal. The goal is to share Jesus. The goal is to be Jesus to them. And so there are a lot of people out there, like I said, that are already talking to God. Now, I would love to know. I would love to know who's the one that's talking to God and already praying and already seeking the truth. But you know what that will do? That will cause me to not go to the ones that aren't praying, that aren't seeking. If I only know the ones that are seeking, it's kind of like which all of us would love for God to show us a video of our life, of what our decisions are going to be. Well, if we already saw that, then there'd be no need for faith because we already saw that. There'd be no need for trusting in his word because we already know. Well, I already prayed and God already showed me. And December 5th, my answer is going to be praying. My prayer is going to be answered. So I really don't have to continue to pray every day and seek the Lord, because I know it's going to happen. Well, then our desire or our need for trusting in him, calling upon him, standing on his word, it's not going to be the same, because we're already going to know what's going to happen. And so the goal is to share Jesus. Now, I wanted to share this because I have many books up here, and I would like for each family to take one home, and at your leisure, whether it's before dinner or whatnot, I would like for, let's see. Okay. I would like for every family to take one and to go over that. And I wanted just to read something because it says, who should go? And it was kind of interesting because the students were talking about the Great Commission this morning, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And so it says, who should go? Who are the laborers for the Lord's harvest? And what are they doing? As a Christian, have you ever asked yourself, when was the last time I verbally asked a person to give his or her life to Christ, and the person received Christ as their Lord and Savior? For many Christians, the answer is never. Why is that? Some people say that it is too personal to ask that question, or they feel that it is not a popular thing to do if we want people to visit our churches. Now, I remember reading the statistic that it was over, I can't remember the exact amount, but I know that it was over 70% of Christians, 70% of people who consider themselves Christians have not shared their personal testimony to anyone. And I'm thinking, wow, how can we know the truth, capital T, but yet not see it fit that it'd be of vital importance to share our testimony, to share what God has done in us? Now, I've learned this from my mother-in-law and father-in-law, and Shannon and Janine have carried on this tradition. But it's always, you know, a good thing to give somebody something, a treat. And so when we were doing Auto Trader magazines, they would make little treat bags, and they would have a track. And they would actually make a track and actually put a personal testimony of how God changed their life. And this is just something that to share a little treat, a little something sweet, a little brownie or a cookie or whatever, a piece of candy, and to actually share your faith. But for there to be 60% of people who consider themselves Christians not to share their personal testimony, I'm scratching my head thinking, what's going on? There's something wrong with the picture. But here we find that who should go? All of us who are Christians should go. All of us who know Jesus should go. What does it cost? Within the mundane routines of church traditions, many of us have begun to focus inwardly without even realizing it. We have become self-centered. In some way, we have all been guilty of it. Sure, we say, God, use me, God, use me. And we begin the quest to find out what God wants us to do. But we get busy, busy with the things in life. We get busy even serving the local church. You know, you can get so busy in serving the local church, you forget about the outside. You forget about the people out there. We can get so busy, and it ends up being, and this is what my prayer, that coming to church would not be a robotic thing to do, but we get to go to church. My wife said that one time to my kids, and it just stuck. You know what? Yes, we get to go, because there's a lot of people that don't have the ability to do what we just did today. We came into a building, we lifted up our hands, we lifted up our voices, and we sang out loud. It was a shock to find out that there are churches in China who whisper because they can't be so loud in proclaiming Jesus, singing out to Jesus, because they're in a hidden room in the back of this building and they have to be quiet. They praise, they cry, they glorify God so quietly so that they're not heard by the authorities or a neighbor who could call the authorities on them and snitch on them. And look around. I know that there's a lot. I'm saying, and look around in our world today, not just in this room, but in our world today, how coming to church just becomes a robotic. It can happen that way. And so what does it cost? It's got to cost us our life. It's got to cost us the fact that we will go, Lord, at all costs, we will go, because it cost Christ his life to die on the cross for us. Another next part of this little booklet, it says, but how do I go? Now compare the thought of compelling people to come to church to compelling them to come to Christ. All pastors, church members, and church leaders need to ask themselves this question. Am I compelling people to come to a building, or am I compelling people to come to Christ? How many people do you walk by in a 2-foot vicinity in a single day? I judged this for myself and discovered that I came into contact with approximately 28 people that I could have spoken to about the Lord. That was 28 souls I could have asked the Lord to give me the courage to compel to give their life to him. Not to come to a building, but to come to give their life to him. What if out of those 28 people, 10 actually spoke to me? Because, you know, some people just look at you weird and just turn around and walk away. But what if 10 actually spoke to me? 5 shared their life with me, and 1 gave their life to Christ that day. I thought, man, how many people do I miss? Lord, forgive me. If I did this every day, that would be 7 souls in a week. Now compare this to a mega church that spends $400,000 on 5 souls a week. That's a big church. Well, some may say, I need them to come to church before I can tell them about Christ. That's like asking which came first, the chicken or the egg. That was pretty good. Do we need a building to win souls for Christ? Do we need a choir, a pulpit, or clean facilities? Now, this guy who wrote this book, this little pamphlet, he's not saying do away with church. But he's saying, but in the midst of going to church and being a part of a church, don't forget the people outside. Don't forget the fact that it happens not just in here, but it happens out there. Amen? These things are really nice to have so that believers can have a place to come together and fellowship and grow. Really, there is nothing wrong with these things. Yet, when we let these things hinder our focus on our call to go, we are wasting time and money. Is this call really about our church? No. Is this call really about Assembly of God? No. Is this church really about our needs, your needs, our vision, our goals? Every goal of for every church and every born-again believer should be aligned with the head of the church. That's Jesus. He didn't tell us to stay. He told us to go. And so these booklets that I want to pass out here in a little bit, I just want to ask for every family to just go over them. You don't have to go through the whole book. It's only like, what, 15, 16, 9, 20, 23 pages. So you can go through it half through, you know, lunch or dinner, and then the other half the next day. But I would like to give one to every family. So let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Peter has a vision. Now it says that he has a vision or a dream, and he goes into a trance. And I'm thinking maybe it's a daydream. Now I don't believe he goes, this is me, I don't believe he goes to sleep because it says he's hungry. Now if I'm hungry, I don't fall asleep. I fall asleep after I eat, right? Okay, how many of you attest to that? Okay, I go to sleep after I eat. And so it says that he's hungry. And he falls into a trance, or he sees this vision. Verse 11, and he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Now his focus is on what normally happens. I don't eat none of these things. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times. Three times. Peter refused to eat because it was common or unclean. And three times he says, "Do not call what God has cleansed, do not call common." And the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself, what just happened? What just happened? Lord, anybody ever have one of those dreams? You wake up, it's so vivid. Lord, that was weird. That was wild. What does it mean? What are you trying to say? I encourage you, write it down. Write it down in your journal. Lord, what does this mean? I've done this, and just you written it down and just tried to, you know, just later on pray it again. Because, and this is one thing that if I don't write it down, I'll tell Shannon about it. Because by noon, I've forgotten all the details, right? Don't you hate those dreams? Okay, and so you know, write it down. And so he wondered within himself what this vision which he had meant. Behold, the man who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon. So the people that Cornelius sent to go get Peter, they're already there and they're knocking at the gate. See, later on, we see that Peter, he understood this dream. You want to know why he understood this dream? Because he was willing to understand. He was willing to figure out, God, what are you telling me? There are a lot of Christians, they're not wanting to understand what God is saying. They don't understand it. They don't understand the first time. It goes over. That's really not important. I guess that's not something to dig in deep in. Man, if we would allow to go deep into the word and understand, God, what are you saying? This scripture that I'm reading in my daily devotions jumps out and hits me square in the head. Lord, what are you saying? I saw a commercial or I saw a sign on the road and it actually reminded me of that verse. God, what are you telling me? That's coming from someone who's hungry and wants to learn, wants to be changed, wants to be used by God. There are Christians, they don't want to be used. They just want to sit in the same seat. They just want to continue to do the same thing. And that's it. You're not really going to be used in the way, in the capacity God would want to use you. Why? Because I'm just so focused on what I already do. Peter, he could have just said, "No, I'm not eating that. I'm not going. I'm not going where you want me to go. I'm going to stay put." As it was mentioned this morning, God's calling people. He's calling people to minister into the ministry. He's calling people to stretch out. He's calling people to take a step of faith. And it's up to you. You can choose not to take a step of faith. You could choose not to go out. You could choose not to answer the call. You'll miss out. And so it's important. And so God prepares us for his work if we are willing to learn. And Peter was willing. If we're willing to understand, Peter was willing to understand. It says that he wondered within himself what was going on. So true what Josiah said this morning. How will we ever share Jesus if we don't plan or prepare for ourselves who he is to us? How can I tell people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life if in my daily life he's not the way, I'm the way? If he's not the truth, well, sometimes he is, but the rest of the times it's my feelings. I go by my feelings instead of what it's too hard what he says to do. Love your enemy? Yeah, right. He doesn't know my enemy. Lord, you don't know my enemy. And so how can we share who Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life, the Savior, my best friend, the one who sticks closer than a brother? If I'm not willing to learn him like that, how can I be able to share him, who he really is? How can I share the good news of Jesus Christ when I don't even know it myself? And I'm not willing to walk according to his good news. Beware that you don't become the blind leading the blind, as it was mentioned this morning. There's a minister friend of mine named Mike Holt, some of you remember, and he shared this phrase as he was talking about ministering to people, and he said, have a Matthew party. And I'm thinking, what, have a Matthew party? I'd never heard of that phrase before, not until I read about the tax collector in the Bible. So let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, having a Matthew party. Matthew 9, verse 9 says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And Jesus said to him, follow me. So Matthew arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 5, you'll know that verse 27, you know that in the house is Matthew's house. So as Jesus sat at the table in Matthew's house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When Jesus connected himself with the lost, he taught them kingdom principles. He taught them the way of the kingdom. He taught them about the love of the Father. He taught them about the way of living in the kingdom. When the disciples connected themselves with the lost, they taught and they shared Jesus and Jesus' teachings, which are kingdom life principles. We just sang a song, Build Your Kingdom Here. Where? At Hidden Treasures in this building, 433 West King Avenue? Or is it Build Your Kingdom Here, this temple right here, this body, myself right here, this life? Rick, build your kingdom here. I mean, just think about that. What does that entail? It entails my feelings, my wants, my desires. All of that is going to have to be changed in order for his kingdom to be built in here. Because my feelings have to be put aside. Even if they got really hurt, they have to be put aside. I have to go to the Father. Father, how do you want me to live? Build your kingdom here. I need to be patient. Build your kingdom here. I need to love the unlovable. That's hard. Build your kingdom here. I need to be willing to reach out no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. And so build your kingdom here, not at 433 West King Avenue, but in my life. Kingdom principles. When we connect with the lost, here's a question. Are you connecting yourself with the lost? Jesus did. Are you connecting with the lost? When we connect with the lost, what do we do? What do we share? What do we teach? Jesus, his love, kingdom life. That's what we share, because that's what we're living. That's what we're living for. That's what we're living by. Hopefully. So begin to share what he has done in you, for you, and to you. A lot of times Christians come up with this excuse. I don't know what to share. I don't know what to say. What is he doing in your life? Start there. What has he done in your life? Go there. What do you believe he's going to do in your life? Go there. And begin to share. All of us, we have something to share. We all have something to say. The truth of the gospel convicts and shines the light, God's light, capital L, God's light, in someone's dark world. But if you do it incorrectly, how can I do it incorrectly? If I just do it because I want to be seen, if I do it with not a whole heart, half-hearted, so whenever they need me, I'm busy. But whenever it's convenient, then I'll talk to. We got to do this correctly. When done incorrectly or callously, like throwing the Bible at people, it could be received as lemon on an open wound. Anybody ever get that feeling? Lemon on an open wound. You're cooking and you got this cut. All of a sudden, you're squeezing lemon or chili or whatever, and it gets it's not good. And so when we do this incorrectly, when we do this half-heartedly or callously, not being led by God's Spirit and God with God's love, it could come across where people don't want to hear it because we're just bashing people with the word. When it was never bashed at us, it was brought to us in love. And so I just wanted to share that, because what we have to do is maybe not have a Matthew party at home, but maybe we can have and arrange a time where we get together with someone, or maybe just our family. And this is what we're going to plan on doing on November 19th. We're just going to go find some place to maybe not eat dinner, maybe just get something light, because there's six of us, or six and a half if you want to count Jude. And we're just going to go and we're going to sit at a restaurant. And then we're going to be praying up until then. Now, unless the Lord changes this, but this is what we're going to do on November 19th, sometime Sunday afternoon, evening. And we're going to have already prayed. We're going to have already an idea of what we're going to study. We're going to sit at that table and we're just going to discuss. We're going to discuss a devotion. We're going to discuss what God has done. We're going to discuss what the kids' church sermon was about. And we're just going to discuss those things. In hopes that someone next to us, in hopes that someone who's serving us will be impacted and affected by why we're gathering together. We're not gathering there together to fill our stomachs. We're gathering there together for something else more important. Taking the gospel to the street. Josiah, can you put up slide one? You guys know what that is? Can you see it? It's a food truck. Now, by looking at that food truck, what do you think the guy is selling? What's the purpose? For those of you that are not here, I got a picture of a food truck and it says the fry guy. What do you guys think he's selling? Fries. It's www. I'm plugging this guy's business. www.fryguyatlanta.com. I love French fries, and if I ever go to Atlanta, I'm going to find this guy. But you know, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of a food truck? To sell food, to sell product, to sell what they're best at. Now, what if he was horrible at selling fries? He'd go out of business real quick, okay? He'd go out of business real quick. Now, go to the next one. See, every food truck specializes in selling something. Slap your mama soul food. Now, I'd like to know where this food truck is at. Slap your mama tells you it is so good you want to slap your mama. Slap someone else's mama, you might get killed. But soul food, all right? They specialize. What do you think this specializes in? Soul food, okay? They are not, I'm telling you, they are not going to sell salad, okay? They're going to sell something with that has soul and flavor in it, okay? Go to the next one. What do they specialize in? I like the name. Indian food, Indian street food. It's called Curry Up Now. I read it, so you say it really fast. Curry Up Now. All right. And so Curry Up Now. Hurry Up Now. Get it? Okay. So they specialize in selling Italian or Indian street food. Go to the next one. This is funny. It's called the Blaxican. Blaxicanfood.com. Now, I'm Mexican. I've had some soul food, but not really real good soul food. But I had some soul food before. Of course, Stacy's mom and my mother-in-law would love for me to have greens one day. And I guess that's greens and what is it? No, chitlins. There you go. Chitlins. Soul food. Now, I want to find this truck, the Blaxican Mexican Soul Food. And he says we cater. I'm not sure. I think 404 might be somewhere in Florida, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, they specialize in selling what they sell best, what they're good at, what they're talented in making. Okay? The reason why I'm sharing this is not to get you hungry, but we need to mobilize. We need to be mobilized. We need to mobilize the gospel if I can do this, if I can say this, I'm not downplaying what the gospel is. The gospel is the word of God, and it is power to save. It convicts. It convicts the sinner and leads them to repentance, hopefully. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is vitally important. We need to see ourselves again. I'm not downplaying what the gospel is, but we need to see ourselves as a franchisee. Jesus paid it all for us. And it's going to cost us our life to give up our life to live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider yourself a franchisee, counting the cost of giving your life for the gospel, taking to the streets that which is most important, Jesus. Take the gospel where it is needed. Take it where it can be shared. These food trucks, they specialize in selling what is important or what they do best. A lot of them, instead of remaining, the term is brick and mortar. Instead of remaining in a building, they say, you know what? We're going to sell our food in a building, but we're also going to take our food to the streets. They're going to buy this truck. They're going to get it ready for it to have a refrigerator and a stove of some sort. And they're going to take what they sell best and they're going to mobilize. Why? Because what they have is not just within that four walls. What we have shouldn't just be just within us and stayed there. It shouldn't just be within these walls and stay here. We need to mobilize. We need to go out. And this is why November 19th is going to be special for all of us. I pray as I beseech you to share with others. My prayer is that for many, this is not going to be a time to have an excuse to stay at home and do nothing. But a time to say, you know what? Our family, or me and my wife, we get together and we go out to eat on a Friday night. It's just for a date night. But can we alter that a little bit and still consider it as a family night? Even if it's just for just get one big ice cream and a bunch of spoons and everybody just shares one. But you do that as you talk about Jesus with the praying already, being prepared, already praying for that server and the people around you that they will hear what you're talking about. They will hear what you're discussing. And even if they don't come to your table, that the seeds are being planted. The ministry is already being done. You see, because when we consider ourselves as one who will mobilize the gospel and we won't keep it to ourselves, we are taking the truth to those who need to hear it, to those who need to receive it. Consider the day that Jacob and Jamie find out that they discover that they're expecting. They're not. But 3 years from now, consider the day that they discover they are expecting. You know how quickly the news will spread, will sweep through the church? Because a lot of people are praying, especially for twins. After my two more, no. But the news will spread, even if they're going to try to keep it to themselves. I'm not going to keep it to myself, so don't tell me. But I will share. It's going to be great news for them. I'll put it on social media. It'll find, you know what? You and Jamie wouldn't have to worry about putting it on social media because all of us will put it on social media just for you guys. But this is the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Us together, but separately, we'll take our testimonies. We'll take the truth of the gospel to the streets where we are led by God. We have prayed for the meeting. We have prayed for the situation. We have prayed for where we're going to go. And we're going to, whether we meet with other believers or non-believers, in our time of fellowship, we're going to discuss what God has done, what Jesus has done, or what Jesus is doing in us or in our church. We just might find ourselves prepared for a divine appointment where God will show up. Where God will show up. You know, there have been times where we have gone to a restaurant and we're talking and the waiter or the waitress will sit down and begin to share something personal. And a time where we've actually prayed right then and there. What happens next? That's up to God, because I can't save them. I can share the one who can save them, but I can't do that. I can lay my hands upon them for prayer, but I'm not the one that's doing the healing. Jesus has already done the healing. I'm just going to be a willing vessel. And that's what we have to do. Be willing. Be a willing vessel to be used for that divine appointment. and we would share the truth, such a relief that I don't have to share calculus. I don't have to share the theory of relativity. I just have to share who my best friend is, and it's Jesus. I just have to share who my Savior is, and that's Jesus. I just have to share to me who the truth is, and that's Jesus. If I'm going to share about my best friend, I need to know who he is. Yeah. If he's going to be my best friend, and I'm going to consider him as my best friend. Verse 38 of Acts chapter 10. God anoint Peter begins to share with Cornelius. Actually, I'll start in verse 33. He says, "So I sent to you immediately," Cornelius says, "and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead." You know, God, like it was mentioned this morning, God has commanded us to preach the gospel. God has commanded us to teach the gospel. God has commanded us to be witnesses of Christ, to testify that it is he who was ordained by God. It is Jesus who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word." And I encourage you, stuff like that just doesn't happen in the Bible. It happens today. It can happen in that meeting, wherever it is. You can take your family to the park and have a picnic and see that there's another family. She's walking out of the room, but that is how you can continue, Chanel. She turned around like, what? That is exactly how this family came to know Christ, or came to be a part of this church and be connected. We had a gathering of believers from the church at the park, and Shannon connected with Chanel, and that connection came about because we were there at the park. And so things like this can happen. It just doesn't happen in the book. It happens in real life. Verse 45, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?'" You know, when I read this, I thought, oh, God, it'd be so awesome if I went and followed that waiter or waitress into the kitchen and just grabbed that water hose and just started to douse them with water and just baptize them. I got nowhere to dunk them, but Lord, I got a water hose. I mean, it'd be amazing for that to happen. But listen, verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days," because he had more to share. Because what was happening was, man, it was too good to just be done with. And just maybe, whatever you and your family plan on doing on November 19th, you'll find yourself going to that same place, because that person who was there will meet you again, maybe serve you again, maybe be the hostess and lead you to that same table. Begin to prepare tonight. Slide 5, Josiah. I think there was the next slide, right? Yeah. What is my action? What is my action plan? Decide tonight. Begin to pray tonight with you and your family. Jacob, can I ask you and Mike to pass these books? Just one per family. We probably have more, one per person, but one per family. That way, the whole family has one. Yes. Where to go, how to go, what to do. May we plan tonight. May we begin to plan tonight, today. And I encourage you to pass this on, to share this. Just as if you just found someone is expecting. You're going to share this. You're going to share that awesome information with somebody else. And this is a time where we're going to come together. And I don't know. The Lord hasn't showed me that this is going to happen every month. I perceive that this is going to happen 3 to 4 times a year. That we're not going to have a Sunday night service, but this is not going to, and please express this. This is not going to be an excuse to stay at home and watch Sunday night football. This is not going to be an excuse to just stay at home and, have that little siesta to last a little bit longer. It's not going to be an excuse for that. This is going to be a time where we have been instructed by God and we will learn and we will obey and we'll take the gospel to the streets. Like a food truck that takes food, we're going to take the living word, and we're going to take it to the streets that God would be glorified. And so while this song is being played, Josiah, play the altar call song. I just want to encourage you to just begin to pray today. God, I don't know what it is you want me to do. Don't know where it is you want us to go. Whether it's me, my husband, or our family, but Lord, begin to lead us. Begin to prepare our hearts. Again, refocus our eyes, our sight, and our heart on what you want us to do as we take the gospel to the streets.